And you have Joshua chapter number 18 in your Bibles this morning. Joshua chapter number 18 in your Bibles this morning. Joshua chapter 18 in our Bibles. And notice there in verse number 1, Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1. Now, folks, you got to understand, all right? Sunday school, I had 3 pages of notes. I just got, you know, 3/4 of a page this morning. So we may go real short and be first in line at the restaurants, right? Miss Janice, you want to be first in line, right? All right. Mr. Bill, I like that. But you already went to Cracker Barrel, so you already went. Going again. I love it. Joshua chapter 18 in your Bibles. Notice verse 1. The Bible says, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you 3 men of each tribe, and I will send them. They shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again to me. They shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south. And the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God." Father, use your word this morning, I pray, to really challenge and convict our hearts. Father, I pray that we would move out of neutral in our walk with you to go on and possess the promised land in our spiritual lives. Help me as I preach. Give me power and liberty, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you remember the days of being a teenager. Of course, for some of you, they are many, many years ago. And for others, it was just a couple of months ago. But you know, the reality is, as a preacher, I get the privilege of preaching to teenagers a lot. And in fact, in a couple weeks, I will be up in flying to Pennsylvania and preaching a youth camp. And I love teenagers. But let me say, teenagers are crazy sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? And teenagers do stupid things. Well, I'm not allowed to say stupid, but they do dumb things, all right? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, you look at a teenager, and teens are, they're in that stage, you know, where sometimes they just want to be goof off and be crazy, and then other times they want to be mature and to be treated like an adult. I remember many times, I remember a couple of years ago I was preaching a camp, and there was a kid that walked around, and he pretended that his name was Randall. I don't know why he chose Randall, but he walked around like an idiot the whole week of camp. And I remember looking at I don't remember the kid's real name, but I remember looking at Randall, and I'm like, Randall, grow up. And he'd walk around, and he'd be like, you know, drinking, you know, water from the cooler, and be like, you know, just pouring over his head, acting dumb. You know what I'm talking about? You know how teenagers act? You know, you're just like, kid, grow up, man. Be normal. Don't be weird. I know none of you were like that when you were teenagers. And I know you're all cool and hip and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, some teenagers, you just want to shake them and be like, grow up. You know, do what you ought to do and act your age and not your shoe size, right? And I think about when it comes here to Joshua chapter number 18. Joshua 18 reminds me of a lot of teenagers here in our country. Because they're still kids, acting like kids, and they're not growing up in possessing the land that God wants them to possess. Understand this morning, Christian, that God desires for you to enjoy the bounties and enjoy the beauty of a Christian life. The Christian life is not a trial. It's not a hardship. And when you live for God, there's joy, there's peace, there's true fulfillment. You have a walk with God. You have a purpose in life. And yet there are so many Christians that are living in the wilderness instead of possessing the promised land that God desires for them. Oh, they've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They came out of Egypt. And, of course, the Israelites leaving Egypt and crossing the Red Sea represents salvation. And there are many Christians that are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And there are some that will cross over the Jordan River, and they will experience some victories in battles like Jericho and like Ai and like the Southern Campaign and the Northern Campaign. And they will experience God's working in their life, and yet what do they do? Sadly, they go back to the wilderness, and they fail to enjoy completely that Christian life that God has for them. And as we come to Joshua chapter number 18, Joshua asked the 7 tribes here in Joshua chapter 18 and verse 3, he said, "How long are ye slack to go up to possess the land which the Lord your fathers, Lord God of your fathers, hath given you. And I just want to ask you that this morning, child of God. How long are you going to be slack? How long are you going to continue to wander in the wilderness? I know some Christians, they're still wandering in the wilderness and they've been saved for 30 years. I know some Christians, boy, they'll give you a clear-cut testimony. I was saved at this day. Man, knocking doors. Man, I meet a lot of people. Have you been born again? Oh, yeah, I've been born again. They can take you back to that revival meeting or that church altar or that grandma with that open Bible, and they will tell you that moment they were born again, and yet they're living a life out of fellowship with God. They're living a life frustrated in the wilderness. Understand this morning that God's design for you and God's plan for you and for me is that we would enjoy the wonders of walking with God in sweet fellowship and communion with Him. But unfortunately, so many are out of God's will wandering in the wilderness. And 7 out of 12 tribes were still wandering in tents. The land had been subdued and they had not claimed the promised land. Joshua asked them that question in verse number 3. He wanted to know when they were going to get busy doing what God had called them to do. So we see number 1 this morning. Would you notice the crucial request, the crucial question in verse number 3. He said, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land? I wonder this morning, I wonder how long are you going to stand in the wilderness? Let me ask you, first of all, regarding salvation. How long are you going to delay in getting saved? I mentioned in Sunday school, I met a man by the name of Mr. John on Thursday knocking doors. And I asked him and his friend, I said, if you die today, are you sure you go to heaven? They said, preacher, they said, we were just talking about that, and we don't know how we're going to heaven. Can you tell us how to go to heaven? I took the Bible, open Bible, showed them how they were lost. Jesus Christ was the only solution to sin. He was the only way you're going to go to heaven. By faith alone, apart from works, you've got to turn from your sin and trust Christ to be your Savior. And I looked at Mr. John. I said, sir, would you like to be saved today, right now? And he said, no, Pastor. He said, I'm going to wait till Saturday and do it with my son, get saved with my son on Saturday. You know what? I looked at Mr. John and I pleaded with him. I said, sir, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for no man knoweth what a day may bring forth. The Bible says, you may die today. This may be your last sermon you ever hear. This may be the last time you ever enter a church auditorium. This could be your final moment to trust Christ to be your Savior. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Why? Because it is appointed that a man wants to die. And after this is the judgment, I find there are many people that are delaying, they're holding off regarding salvation. Oh, they know they need Christ to save them. They know that if they died at this moment without Christ, they'd spend eternity in the flames of hell. And they realize that hell is real and heaven is real. And yet they say, tomorrow I'll get it settled. Tomorrow I'll deal with it. And Joshua said to those people, he said, how long are you going to delay and doing what God's called you to do? God's called you to salvation. If God's convicting you, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you to Him, listen, don't let the good seed of the Word of God be snatched away from the devil's grasp. No, instead, trust Christ this morning to be your Savior. But I wonder, Christian, this morning, how long are you going to continue to live in sin? The Bible says in Exodus 16, verse number 28, the Bible says, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my law? The Bible says in Numbers 14, 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown unto them? It says in Psalm 4, verse 2, O ye sons of man, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? It says in Jeremiah 4, 14, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? And can I ask you this morning, how long are you going to continue to live a life of rebellion toward God? Those of you that were here for Sunday school, we talked about in John 1 how many times we deceive ourselves. We say we're in fellowship with God and we're not walking in the light. The Bible says we lie to others and we deceive our own selves and we deny the scriptures and we say no to God. Hey, how long are you going to continue to live that double life, that life of sin? You say, well, preacher, nobody knows about it. It's my secret pet sin. It's a sin that I can get away with. Listen, God loves you so much that He's not going to let you continue to get away with it. But the Bible says He will expose it and deal with it. How long are you going to continue to live that life of sin? How long are you going to continue to delay in getting right with God? The Spirit's convicting you. God's been dealing with you for some time. Listen, don't harden your heart. but instead get right with God. How long are we going to stay in the wilderness of sin instead of in the promised land of surrender? I wonder how long are we going to stay out of the will of God regarding surrender? It says in 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah there on Mount Carmel. All the nation of Israel is gathered before him. The false prophets of Baal, they tried to get fire to fall from heaven. They tried to get their God to respond, and yet Baal did not respond. And Elijah stood before the people and he said, "All right, guys, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him." But he said, "Make up your mind. Whose side are you on?" It says in Proverbs 1:22, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And ye scorners delight in your scorning, and fools hate knowledge." How long are you going to continue to live a life out of the surrendered will of God? And Brother Puck and I, we were talking about sports yesterday. And you pray for them. They are Jayhawks fans, Kansas fans. And that's not the team to cheer for in basketball when you got the UConn Huskies, all right? The greatest basketball team with the greatest coach and beside Calipari. But you know, beside minor details. But you know, I think about when it comes to a basketball game. I don't know if you've ever seen the Duke-North Carolina games, Tar Heels versus, they're insane. Man, prices for those tickets are sky high. If you're going to go to one of those games, it's like Auburn, Alabama. You know, man, you're going to pay a premium for those tickets. You know, when it comes to sports, you've got to make a decision. Mark, you can't cheer for Auburn and Alabama, man. You got to decide who you're on. By the way, Josiah and I, we went to talk to the tax lady. I don't know if he asked you the question, but the lady, she asked Josiah, she said, "Who are you cheering for?" And Mark's had a negative influence on my son. And so Josiah said he's cheering for Auburn. And the lady looked at Josiah and she said, and Josiah, I don't know if you've asked Mark this question, but the lady looked at Josiah and she said, "Here's one question I want you to ask him. How many championships has Auburn won?" And I don't know the answer, and I had to be honest with the lady, I don't know. But Mark, that's a good question to ponder and think on, all right? So just two. How many has Alabama won? Yeah, we can't count because they're better, right? But you've got to decide whose team are you on. And God said to, Joshua said to the Israelites, he said, "Listen, you've got the land before you. You've got the will of God. This is God's plan for you. How long are you going to continue to dwell in tents?" I don't know about you folks, but I'm thankful for a bed to sleep in at night. I'm thankful that I don't live in hotels any longer like we did in evangelism. I'm thankful that we don't travel and sleep in foreign beds. I'm thankful every night I wake up in my own bed. You know what I'm talking about? Man, if you've ever traveled like crazy, we would be on the road about 300 days a year in evangelism. And that's crazy amounts of beds when we traveled. And I'll tell you what, each bed is different. Super 8 beds are awful. Holiday Inns, Hampton Inns, Hilton Garden Inns, they're decent beds, all right? Our bed was a whole lot better than all of them. But you know what? How long are you going to keep dwelling in tents, sleeping on foreign beds, instead of going and building your house and claiming the promised land? God asked you that question. He asked me that question. How long are we going to dwell in the wilderness? There was a crucial question here in this passage. How long the land subdued? The will of God is that you would be like the other five tribes and claim the land that God has for you. So we see, number one, there was a crucial question. But notice as he goes on, we see, number two, the constant reminder. He said there in verse 3, "How long are ye slack to go to possess the land?" Notice the statement, "which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you." He said, let me remind you of something, Israelites. Hey, you seven tribes that have not claimed the land that God's given to you, let me remind you what God's done. He's given you that land. God has given you the land. He's given you this whole place. It's for you to enjoy. It's for you to partake in. Understand this morning, child of God, that you and I are the ones that determine where we're at spiritually. You can't blame your wilderness wanderings on anybody else except for yourself. "Well, Pastor, you just don't understand my marriage. You don't understand the guy I'm married to. You don't understand my situations. You don't understand my circumstances." You're the only one, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you're the one to blame for where you're at spiritually. God wants you to enjoy the bountiful Christian life. He wants you to be a man of faith, as we've been going through in Hebrews 11. He wants you to step out and do something great for God. He wants you to have an awesome story about God moving and working in your life. But you know what? You've got to make the choice. You've got to make the choice. God's giving you the land. There's the reminder. Every day they got up, they saw the other five tribes that were settled. Then they're building their farms. They're building their mansions. They're building their businesses. And here they are every day getting up in their same tent, Joshua said, listen, it's a constant reminder. God's giving you the land. How long are you going to be out of the will of God, not claiming that land? Others had lived a victorious life. They saw the five tribes, and they talk about the victories that God had given to them. But can't you see the five, as they'd have family reunions, 12 tribes gathered together, those five tribes that had their property and land, man, they talk about their wonderful farms. Man, look at the zucchini and the summer squash and the tomatoes and the green beans. And look at all that we've got from our gardens. And here are the seven other tribes, man, they're just talking about, man, where's our garden, you know? We're living on canned beans from Walmart, you know? I mean, man, they did not have the stories. They heard about the stories. They heard about the God with Caleb, how Caleb and boy, his son-in-law drove out the enemies. They heard about the victories that God had given. Folks would come to church and some sit in the wilderness and hear from others how God is working. Now I'm preaching to some of you this morning. It's been years since you've witnessed somebody about Christ. You've not seen somebody get saved. You've not seen God work in somebody else's life. You hear the stories. But man, don't you hunger and long for God to do it in your life? Don't you want God to do something? I'll tell you what, I read about revivals in days gone by. I read about Jonathan Edwards, David Brainerd. By the way, we're ripe for revival. We need revival. One of the greatest revivals in the United States was during the Civil War. Man, conflict all over the place. We need revival. But you know what? I just don't want to read about it. You know what I want to experience? I want to experience God moving. I want God to save souls. I want God to revive His people. I just don't want to talk about the history books. I want to experience it. And the God of the revivals of days gone by is the God that we serve today. It's a constant reminder, folks, we've got to get out and we've got to go get our own story. We've got to do something for God. We've got to go claim the promised land. I was talking to my uncle back in January. My uncle travels all over the country as an evangelist and used of God, tremendous preacher. But he told me, he said, Steve, he said, Becky called me a couple of years ago in Bible college. And she said, Dad, she said, you won't believe what just happened. She said, I was sitting in chapel. You know, chapel is preaching time. And she said, a guy got up and preached verbatim your sermon that you preach on this topic. And by the way, evangelist kids can quote verbatim their parents' sermons because they hear it all the time, all right? And they know the stories, when to laugh, when to smile. They're great robots, right? And she said, my uncle said, how did you know that, Becky? She said, because I heard you preach this sermon thousands of times and verbatim preach that whole sermon. You know, God used that sermon that my uncle preached, and that man said, you know what, I'm going to borrow that, preach that same sermon. You know what that guy was doing? He was hanging on to somebody else's story. Instead of getting something for himself from the Word of God, instead of doing something for God. Listen, Christian, when are you going to step out of the boat and do something for God? When are you going to go claim the land? How long are you going to piggyback off everybody else's spiritual decisions instead of going and claiming them for yourself? I think about Peter. Man, think about Peter in the boat with the other 11 disciples. Jesus comes walking on that water in the midst of that storm. And Jesus said, hey, Peter, come on, walk on the water, come to me. And what did Peter do? He was willing to step out of the boat, willing to leave the comfort zone, willing to leave everything that surrounded him, the safety and the protection of the port. He was willing to leave all that and step out of the boat to do something for God. I wonder, in your walk with God, in your faith, what are you doing to step out of the boat? What is it in your life that you are attempting to do right now for God? What land are you striving to claim? Hey, the Israelites, those five tribes that had claimed the promised land, the land that God had given them, they would come back and they would tell testimonies about cutting down big trees. They talk about testimonies about digging wells. They would talk about the beauties that they found on their property. They would tell stories. I wonder, what tree are you chopping down today in the land that God's given you spiritually? What are you attempting to do for God? How long are we going to sit on the sidelines and not move on for God? There is the crucial question. There is a constant reminder of what God's given you. Notice the promise of God was the reminder. It seems like every time we see Moses or Joshua, they are reminding the children of Israel about God's promises for them. You say, Pastor, why did Moses remind them or Joshua remind them in verse 3 that the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Because you know what? We're prone to forget. I love that song, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy cords above. You know what I'm prone to do? You know what you're prone to do? We're prone to forget. We forget all the promises of God. We get lukewarm, we get cold, we get indifferent. The story of that song, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It, is really a sad story, but there was a girl, back in those days you rode stagecoats for if you're going somewhere, And there was a girl that was on the stagecoach, and she had just received that poem, "Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It, Prone to Leave the God I Love." She was reading it, and the story says she started to cry. Born under deep conviction, as she realized, "That's me. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy cords above." There was a man that was sitting right across the aisle from her in the stagecoach. The lady looked at that man, and she said, "Sir," she said, "I don't know you." She said, "But can I just read this little poem that I found?" And she read him that poem, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy cords above." She said, "That's so gripping for my spiritual life." According to the story, the man sitting across from the aisle from her looked at her and he said, "Yeah." He said, "Years ago I wrote that poem and I'm away from God and I've wandered." The man that wrote, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it," had wandered away from God. Why? Because that's how we are. And what do we need? We need a reminder of the Word of God, the reminder of the preaching of the Word of God. That, listen, stay right, claim the promised land, do the will of God. You can have victory at Jericho and at Ai in the southern nation and the northern nation. You can conquer giants in your life. But you know what? You can cross back over Jordan and wander in the wilderness. Hey, the consistent reminder, God's promises is true. And so here's the crucial question. How long? The constant reminder, the Lord's given it to you, but the choice to react. Here in verse 4, Joshua said, "Give out from among you 3 men of each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them. And they shall come again to me, and they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into 7 parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord, your Lord our God." Notice it was a choice to react. They had to make a choice. The 7 tribes could have just continued hanging out, or they could put feet to the command to go and claim that promised land. It was a choice each tribe had to make. And this morning, child of God, this is a choice you've got to make. It's a choice I've got to make. Am I going to go claim the land, or am I going to stay wandering, dwelling in tents? And let me just say, tents are not fun to dwell in for a long time. It's not a fun place to be at. You know what you want? You want your log cabin with the fireplace in the wintertime, and summertime, same deal. Man, you want the air conditioning. You want the comforts of home. God wants you to enjoy the comforts of a spiritual life, walking with Him. I wonder this morning, how long are ye slack to go to possess land? You say, why were they slack, Pastor? Why did they not go up? It boils down to this. Verse number 3, are ye slack to go up to possess the promised land? You know why we don't go and claim the promised land? Because we're lazy. The dangers of living in the promised land and not possessing it, what's the problem? Why'd they fail to possess it? Because of their laziness. You say, Pastor, why do I struggle and fail in my life? Because we're lazy. If we're going to be victorious, you know what we have to do? We have to dive into the Word of God. We've got to make the spiritual commitments. We've got to say, I'm going to get off the couch and I'm going to go forward for God. I'm going to attempt to do something for the Savior. How long are ye slack to go to possess the land? Father, thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, this is what you put on my heart. And so the question is asked, Lord, how long are we going to dwell in tents instead of claiming the promised land? Lord, for some today, they've never been saved. They've been delaying in that. Others, Lord, they surrender. Sin they need to get rid of. I pray, Father, that the reminder of the word of God this morning would provoke us to respond. And I pray, Father, today that we would move on and claim the land that you have for us. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder if their heads bowed and eyes closed. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, but man, I've been slack. I've been delaying and going forward for God. Realize the will of God for my life is to have victory, get rid of sin, live that victorious Christian life, but I've been lazy and slacking off. Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I want to move out of the wilderness. I want to move out of my tent. And I want to possess the land that God has for me. Pray for me. God's touched my heart. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room, preacher? God spoke to my heart. Good number of hands. Praise God. Good. Good. Anybody else? That's me, Pastor. Good. Good. Amen. I wonder, lastly, would there be one that would say, Pastor, you talked about the delaying in salvation. Truth be told, is I've been delaying. I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me on the cross and rose again. And this morning, I want to stop delaying in my salvation. I don't want to be like Mr. John and put it off another day. I want to trust Christ today to be my Savior. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I wanted that to be my life today. I want to be saved. If that you would just slip your hand out. I want to embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, I need to get saved this morning. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Well, Father, would you work in this invitation? Lord, help us to make lasting biblical choices this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.